The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
James Paxton, he's turning around as he crosses the first baseline, acknowledging the Rogers Center crowd. Those that are wearing Blue Jay hats, shirts, jerseys, cheering for Toronto, but recognizing James Paxton and the effort, and he gives it right back to them.
So, about those Leafs in the spring, about those Raptors in the spring.
Well, the Blue Jays, they got no hit last night.
What a scene. Welcome back. It's hour number four, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690, along with Rod Francis. Dan Robertson is with us all week. A little Steve Cropper for you. And Donald Duck Dunn.
Paul Schaefer, in there somewhere?
No.
No?
No.
I'm thinking the original. Blues Brothers. Okay.
Yeah, this is the original. Booker T.
Right.
Booker T and the MGs. Nice try. Dan Robertson is sitting here with a Dave Winfield San Diego Padres vintage late 70s brown and yellow. And he's gotten away with it for 4 hours.
Gord Miller on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Morella's Restaurant, with an open kitchen concept, charcoal fire pit, and a wood-burning pizza oven from Napoli. Route 132 next to Poker Palace.
In Denmark, welcome back. Gord Miller, how are you?
I'm very well, sir. A crazy night here tonight. Denmark upset Finland. There's a huge screen set up downtown, and thousands were watching and went crazy, and it was wild.
Were you in the middle of it?
No, I was watching in my room. I wasn't working tonight, so I didn't.
Wait a minute, is it right down below you?
Yeah, I can hear it right now. There's a Bruce Springsteen cover band playing right now. They're quite good, actually.
Yeah, maybe it's Tommy Youngstein, the Tommy Youngstein of Denmark. So you don't have the urge to just, I guess not. Yeah, how big an upset, really?
Well, I think, you know, when Denmark beats Finland, and the Finns have got a pretty good lineup. They've got Granlund, Aho, Teravainen, a pretty good lineup. Freddie Anderson was really good, and, home ice means a lot. It means a lot to people here. You know, it's the first time they've ever hosted it. It's a tiny country, right? 5 million people. And soccer is the biggest sport here, then handball. And it's been pretty good for them.
Wait a minute. You could be making that up and nobody would call you on it. So I'm going to call you on the fact that it might not be the second biggest sport in the country.
No, handball. So the rink that they're playing in here, in Herning, is a handball arena. It's never had hockey in it before. They put ice in it for the first time in January. It's a 10,000-seat handball venue.
Handball? So is that... do they have like a Germany, handball, like pro handball players?
Oh, yeah.
And wow.
Germany, Denmark, Holland, France. Handball's enormous over here. That's why it's an Olympic sport, right?
Really?
It's the popularity in Europe. It's the reason it's an Olympic sport.
Dan, this is something you don't know.
You can tell by the look on my face. I thought it was just something you'd see maybe in New York City, you know, and the brick walls and that sort of
handball.
No.
well, what handball are you talking about?
Like over a net?
Well, continental handball. It's like you have like a soccer-sized net at each end on a court, and you're allowed to run like three steps without bouncing it, and you throw the ball, and then there's a crease, like a large, like almost like the NBA 3-point line, and you got to throw it from outside that line to get a goal.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, I can't. I have never seen it. Honestly,
sorry.
I'm trying to remember where. You said it's an Olympic sport?
Yes.
Come on, I'm not the only one here. Rod, have you not seen handball at the Olympics? Sophia, have you seen handball at the Olympics? Just be honest.
I have not.
Yeah. Okay, Gord, you're 0 for 4 in here, and we've got, you know.
I'm not 0 for 4, guys. I'll be quite honest with you. You're 0 for 4.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
No, I mean, it's not just me.
I'm just going to tell you.
We've got people, somebody in their 20s, somebody in their 30s, somebody in their 40s, and I'm in my 50s. None of us have seen this at the Olympics. Isn't that odd? Maybe not.
Maybe we're odd.
It's odd that people who broadcast sports don't know what sports are in the Olympics.
Well, it's not something I have to do homework about.
You didn't know who was in what division. Like, I mean, come
yeah,
on,
I know. I had the Panthers in the old Adams division or something, right?
Oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah. So we played that clip of the. Have you ever been at a no hitter?
Yes, I was at a no hitter. You know what? I wasn't. I was at a perfect game that was broken up with two out in the ninth. Roberto Kelly off Dave Steele.
Oh, yeah.
Roberto Kelly, who later played for the Expos.
Went by Bobby for a half a minute, too, didn't he? Do you remember that?
Really?
Yeah. And, yeah. So I actually know Paxton's uncle.
Really?
In a strange... So I got an email from him last night in the middle of the night going, hey, my nephew just no-hit the Blue Jays. I'm like, what? Yeah.
And he is a proud Canadian.
Yeah. So it's a maple leaf. And inside is kind of a mural of a island that my family has a cabin on that it's called Boyer Island. And when I grew up, as I was growing up, we'd go there 2 weeks of summer until I started playing baseball every summer. And then I didn't get to go very often, but it just is a place that reminds me of family. And it's just kind of a, you know, a special thing for me, having not lived in Canada for the past 10 years or so. It just reminds me of home.
How about that for a tattoo? Maple leaf with a cabin and everything. Do you have a tattoo, Gord?
Nope.
No? Does Ray have a tattoo?
Tattoos are a permanent reminder of a temporary feeling.
I don't know about that. I have a couple. Dan has one to commemorate the life of his dad. Rod, do you have one?
Not a chance.
Were you afraid?
Skin's too pretty, and I'm scared.
I can see a 690 above your heart, though, Rod. That would make sense.
Get a little far afield here, boys.
What's that?
Get a little far afield here.
I might get a handball tattoo to my arm, maybe.
Are you, let's see, was it 12:15 over there? Is that what it is? 12:15?
Yeah, 12:15 in the morning. Yeah.
Did you have you been into the wine?
Nope.
Oh, I'm just asking.
I did it tonight with Ray Ferraro and Darren Drager. We had a very quiet night, and might have had a bit of a noisier night last night. We had the day off today, so it's good.
So what'd you do on the day off?
Went to the Canadian practice. Ray and I biked over, which was fun.
Together?
Yes.
But like on one of those double bikes, you know? Yeah, no, who sat in the front? Who sat in the back?
Yes.
Oh, my God. No, we had two bikes, and we rode over. But we rode our bikes over together.
Yeah, Ray tweeted a picture of it.
Yeah. So you knew that.
Yeah, I knew that.
I didn't know that.
You're just being you again. Okay.
Come on, I get goofy at 6 o'clock. You know that.
Have you been into the wine?
Well, I wish there was some. There's a big to do downstairs for CJAD. You know, it's like the listeners get to meet all the announcers, and the announcers pretend to like being hanging out with the listeners. And there's a big spread down there. So yeah.
Thank God you never do that.
Yeah.
Thank God you never pretend to be happy to see the listeners.
They know on my turf, I'm very happy. Yes.
I just wanted to ask him a question about hockey, if that's okay, Gord.
Yeah, go ahead, please. Dan, you can take over the rest of the way here.
So Mark-Edouard Vlasic gets there, and he's not the only guy to join a team midstream, and it's not the first time it's happened. But how do you see that unfolding? Like, what are the challenges that sort of face those players who, like Krejci and Pasternak as well? It must be hard to hit the ground running, I would think, especially with the time change and that sort of thing.
It's harder, to be honest, for the guys that are here. So who loses their spot?
Right.
Right? So that's the problem. Like, so, for example, 2 years ago when Sidney Crosby and the Penguins got knocked out, Crosby came over to Prague. So Braden Shen came over. He was Canada's number three center. He got dropped out of the lineup. Right? Because you only have room for 20 skaters, and you can list 23 on your roster, or 22 on your roster, so you have to scratch two guys. So that's the awkward part, right? So now Mark-Edouard Vlasic's going to come here for Canada. A defenseman's going to lose his spot. Probably Thomas Chabot. So, you know, you come all the way over here, and then you get moved down the lineup. That's the danger of bringing guys in late. You've got to weigh that, you know, in future years, because if guys think, well, if I go over there, am I going to lose my spot in the lineup? Right? That's the tough part. But as for guys getting off planes, it can be a bit of an adjustment, but I mean, they're pretty good athletes. I don't know if you've heard, but NHL players are in pretty good shape, so they can handle it.
Well, in Chabot's case, his career is barely started, right? It's a lot more palpable if you're a kid going through this.
You know, but for a guy like Braden Shen a couple years ago, that was a tough one, right?
Yeah.
So, but they normally, I mean, they're not normally productive when they get off the plane, but, you know, they'll get a couple of days. They've got some games to play, and that's the key, right? You get some games under your belt, and away you go.
What can you tell us? I thought we were talking to Ray yesterday. He graced us with his presence yesterday. And And I mentioned that Canada was playing Finland, and nobody said anything. It's not Canada and Finland. It's Canada and Norway.
I was scared, Mitch. I knew you're wrong, but I didn't want to say, no, you're wrong. I didn't want to do that.
Dan, I do it all the time.
Oh, okay.
Every Wednesday at 6:05. Gord does it several times. Yeah.
You guys go back a little further.
If you want to hear Mitch get corrected, just tune into my segment.
Okay.
The handball thing is nothing.
Yeah. By the way, European handball, played it in gym class in the 70s, used to see it in the Olympics, Dennis, in Toronto. And for Mark Patterson, handball update, the Soviet men and women swept the handball gold medals at the 76 Olympics, and I totally didn't look that up at all. Come on, Mitch. We even played handball in high school and gym class. Of course, you would have to have attended the class. Somebody who knows me very well, John. I honestly don't remember European handball. But game seven tomorrow, we chatted.
We used to call it,
yes?
Yeah, game seven tomorrow night, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Nashville, Winnipeg, game seven. We chatted with Hal Gill. Pierre has arrived. What do you think? Does home ice? Rod, you want to throw those stats out about home ice?
Oh, yeah, this is crazy, Gord. So home ice, we make a big deal out of it, et cetera, et cetera. That's why we play the regular season. So 66 playoff games, home team record 32-34. Is it just an anomaly?
Yeah. Home ice means less than it used to, and home ice in game seven means less than it used to. I would say that what fascinates me about this series is that both Winnipeg and Nashville have players who can be dominant, but also have the propensity for the big mistake. And so in a game seven, do you get tentative and try not to make the big mistake and stop playing the way you play? That's the question for me, because both those teams are like that. So like the Maple Leafs in their game seven against Boston, I thought they were really tentative. They didn't look like themselves. They were trying not to make mistakes, because the Leafs are a go-for-it, high-octane team. They tried to be a defensive, don't-take-chances team. That's not who they are. So I'll be intrigued to see it. I mean, you look at a 4-0 win in Winnipeg in game six, and you say, well, Nashville's got the momentum. I don't think there's been any momentum in that series.
No, I don't think so. And in fact, you could say that Winnipeg, it's hard to imagine Winnipeg, if you want to use that word tentative, Winnipeg might have been tentative at home in game six. It's hard to imagine them on the road being as tentative.
Yeah, and so, in Nashville's case, they have a lot of players who are risk takers, right? So will they take risks in game seven? I mean, P.K. Subban's a great example of that. Subban's been really good in these playoffs. But do you remember game five against Colorado?
Oh, the last 2 minutes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You got caught up the ice.
He dives out at McKinnon. McKinnon walks around him and sets up Landeskog for the tying goal. Then Subban gets trapped behind the net, the opposition net, and 2-on-1 the other way to score the winner. But with PK, you take the good with the bad, right? If you're gonna have him on your team, you're gonna have to accept that there's gonna be times he's gonna make decisions that are gonna hurt him. But the good should outweigh the bad, if that's what you
Well,
believe,
it does.
Right?
In his case, it does.
But if you do that in game seven, it costs you the series.
Well.
Right? So they're not just PK, but anyone. Ryan Johansson's a risk taker up front for them. He doesn't, not necessarily the first guy coming back defensively, right? So if you play like that in game seven, the risk reward becomes even more pronounced. Also in international hockey, right? The Olympics, things like that, which is why teams tend to err towards more, if you want to call, conservative players, because the big mistake can cost you the tournament.
I look at the rosters of both teams heading into a game seven, and it's not just this series, but you have Nick Ehlers and Kyle Turris who have yet to put the puck in the net at all in this postseason. That's weird.
Yeah, it is. Ehlers has had lots of chances. I would say this about Ehlers. I did a couple of his games, like four of his games in the first round. I mean, he had tons of chances, just didn't score. I've watched Nashville less, but, to be honest, Turris has not been very noticeable. He does not look, Like he hasn't been, Ehlers has had breaks and, shots on goal and they just haven't gone for him. There's been long stretches watching Nashville where you forget Turris is in the lineup. And that's, they shell it a lot to get him. for me, Nashville, it comes from the back end, right? Their push comes from the back end. So, you know, Yossi, Subban, Ellis, and Ekholm, they drive that team. And I think, you know, the reason Pittsburgh was able to beat them in the Stanley Cup final last year was they hemmed them in. They forced them to play defense a lot, made them turn, and got on them. And that's hard to do. Winnipeg can do that, but it's hard to do. And again, it's a risky thing, because if you try to force them, you can make a mistake, and the puck can be in your net.
So, Gord, you mentioned you've watched Winnipeg more than Nashville. What are you seeing from Paul Stastny, other than, you know, points and assists, stuff we can find online, when you're looking at him? What's he bringing to the Jets?
He just brings a stability to his game. I think the one thing about Paul Stastny, players like Paul Stastny, is when they go on the ice, the water gets smooth. Right? They just, the game's under control when he's out there. He wins a lot of face-offs. The other team's top center doesn't get a lot of chances. He's just a really smart, dependable hockey player. The problem with that is that they can be overpaid. You can pay a lot for that. And he's not necessarily a dynamic player who's going to, you know, electrify a game. He's just really steady and very good. And I think that was a really gutsy move by the Jets. People crushed Sheveldayoff for years in Winnipeg for not being more aggressive, for not going with signing guys, trading for guys. And now he's built a team that's built to last. And now the question will be, you know, if they advance here, do you sign Stastny in the summer? That's the trick.
Will the Canadians overpay for him? Or try to?
I don't know. I mean, I have sort of a guideline that if you've missed the playoffs more than once in the last 3 years, you shouldn't be in the free agent market.
At all?
No.
Where did this is this a Miller rule?
Well, no. It's just, if you're going out for free agents, you should be trying to put your team over the top. You can't build through free agency. No one's ever done it.
Okay,
if you look at championship teams, they're built through the draft. And so now there's, you know, did signing Zdeno Chara help Boston? Yeah, but they were a decent team when they signed him. I just, you know, what ends up happening is, by definition, the free agent market, you have to overpay. Right? You have to pay more, well, not overpay, but you have to pay more for a player than anyone else is willing to pay him, for the most part. So in that case, you're using resources on players that probably can't help you in the long term.
But you also have
you need to draft them.
Yeah, I get that, but you also have two key players in their 30s on this team who I don't think, you know, want to hear the term rebuild.
Right. Well, too bad. Because you can't rebuild through free agency. You can't. Teams have tried and tried and tried, it can't be done. And then you wind up trying to get rid of the guys. You know, like let's think about the big free agent signings the last few years. Louis Eriksson in Vancouver. You can have him for nothing. Milan Lucic in Edmonton. You can have him for nothing. David Backes in Boston. You know, like...
Carl Alsner.
I think Carl is what he is. If he made less money, you'd love him.
No. No, if I played with him, I'd love him. As an observer, I would not love him. He's not right for this league.
Right, but the only thing is, his game is what it is, right? It's never changed. His game is what it is. It's very dependable, you know. It's a very reliable defender. It's not like he went to Montreal and started playing poorly. Played exactly the way he always had. Right, like he didn't
for a much less talented team.
Right, but that's the story for a lot of players in the NHL, right? I mean, you know, the old line about Bob Gainey. Like, if Bob Gainey had been a California Golden Seal, you might never have heard of him. He played on a really good... He was a good player on a really good team.
Is that the real guy, or is that Herning down on the street where Gord is? It's hard to tell. Hey, thanks for doing this, Gord.
My pleasure. You know what? I'm going to get you some tapes of handball games, and then you guys can watch them. And maybe, you know what, maybe handball broadcasting is in your future.
I will call it in the next Olympic Games.
It was played in Rio. Handball, we're hearing it was played in Rio. Okay.
Been in the Olympics for like 50 years, I think.
So is the balance bar, and I miss that since Nadia.
You hadn't heard of gymnastics?
Yeah.
We have a problem. If you've not heard of gymnastics, we have a real problem.
Have a great week.
Nice talking to you.
World Hockey Championship. Not junior. World Hockey Championship. Although Thomas Chabot is kind of like a junior. But now that Vlasic is there, he won't be playing. He's a junior member of Team Canada.
So you get a free trip to Denmark. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Nothing at all.